welcome to this week's edition of Thursday in the Doghouse, an educational talk radio program created solely for people who love dogs. I'm your host, Rini Premeza, the Jersey Dog Trainer. We talk to you every Thursday morning from 10 to 10:30 right here on WNJC 1360 AM. You can also hear the show by going to WNJC-1360.com. When you get to the home page, you can click on the button that says Listen Live. If you've missed any previous programs and you'd like to hear them, you can go to my website, www.jerseydogtrainer.com, and click on the page marked Rini's Radio Show. Our guest today is Megan Ricks. She's written a book called The Puppy That Came for Christmas, How a Dog Brought One Family the Gift of Joy. Her book is the story of how she and her husband, Ian, began training golden retriever puppies to become service dogs for people with disabilities. I'd like to talk to Megan today about what it's like to be a puppy raiser and what challenges she and Ian faced when they decided to commit their time to such a task. We'll talk to Megan in just a moment. But first, please let me tell you what services I offer as a professional dog trainer and certified dog behavior consultant in the South Jersey area. Is your dog always in the doghouse? Does he greet people by jumping all over them? Does she chew your shoes and steal your undies? Guess what? Your dog needs training. Hi, I'm Rini Premeza, the Jersey Dog Trainer, and I train dogs using only positive-based methods. My services include private training right in your own home. I also offer group puppy kindergarten classes starting at 8 weeks of age and group classes for adolescent and adult dogs beginning at 5 months of age. All group classes are held at Dog Days Camp for Canines, 23 West Main Street, Marlton, New Jersey. For more information, please contact me at 609-280-9338. Or on the web at www.jerseydogtrainer.com. Again, that's 609-280-9338. Or on the web at www.jerseydogtrainer.com. Good morning, Megan. Thank you so much for joining us in the doghouse this morning. When we had our break, you mentioned during that time you never even had a dog before yourself.
So you had a practice dog. How long did you work with that dog? A
couple of months, maybe 3 months in total.
Did you take that dog into your home?
No, we didn't. No, it was the head of the helper dogs in our area's dog. The thing was that at the time I was very lucky because most of the time when volunteers come in, it isn't small enough. The organisation now in our area is so large that they can't actually give you a dog to practice on. But because there were only three volunteers when I started in our area, we were very taught individually, which was excellent.
So while you were practicing on this first dog, on this first puppy, what did they teach you?
Well, the things we need to do when we've got the helper dogs, as puppy raisers, our most important thing really is to help the puppy to become socialized. So it goes on buses and trains and it gets used to lots of different situations. Because they found that if you experience lots of different things as a young puppy, then when all of a sudden it's thrown at you as an older dog, perhaps when you're with your disabled person, it doesn't throw you in the same way. It doesn't throw the dog in the same way because it just thinks, oh, yes, not such a big deal. So as puppy socializers, we would take the dogs into shops and on elevators and just get it used to lots of different things that it might have to experience once it becomes a helper dog, a fully trained helper dog.
Yeah, we call that public access training.
That's good terminology. Yes. Yeah. We call it socialization.
Okay, so how old is the puppy when, how old was this particular practice puppy when you started working with him?
Rusty wasn't a puppy. He was an older dog, maybe six. Oh. But when I got Emma, our first puppy, she was, I think, 7 weeks old, maybe seven and a half.
Okay.
Very, very young.
Right. So at that such a young age, that's when you start taking them on buses and putting them in elevators and things like that?
Yeah.
And so,
well, not until they've had their vaccinations, obviously. So I'd have the... But, yes, we would be getting them used to different situations, but not until... not once they've had their second vaccination, then they'd be allowed to walk about on the ground where other dogs might have been before.
Right.
Then you
right.
still want your dog to be experiencing things even as a tiny puppy, right. So getting used to being in the car and traffic, noisy, you know, quite busy roads, but you'd be holding the dog, so it would be sitting on your lap and just, oh yeah, this isn't a big deal, just so all those kind of situations they just get used to from a very young age, when they're still thinking, oh, here's my mum, nothing bad's going to happen.
Oh, good.
And also at that age, of course, a very important thing they found for the people in wheelchairs was the toileting aspect for the dog. Because if you're in the chair, it's really hard sometimes to pick up doggy doos.
Mm-hmm.
And so right from the time you bring that tiny puppy home, you just have a designated small area in your garden covered in bark chip. And that area is always used by the dog to go to the loo.
Okay.
So that's its routine.
Now, that's interesting. You know, because when I work with puppies, I do advise clients to make sure that the puppy knows exactly where his toileting area is in, like, in the backyard. But the thing is, I've had puppies who were taught to go on rocks or taught to go on a pile of garden bark, you know, like mulch and things like that. But as a young puppy, they learn, just to go on, if they just learn to go on something specific, they won't go anywhere else, which can be a problem if you're traveling.
Yes. In our garden, when we've got the tiny puppy, we would just have that one kind of area, which would be bark, mulchy stuff.
Okay.
But they also learn when they go to class, it would be a grass area.
Okay.
So they're really, the main thing they're needing to learn is that they go when you say,
go potty.
We usually use the term better go now.
Okay.
But quite often the term used is busy, busy.
Okay.
So they're knowing that this is the place to go, wherever you say.
All right.
Because sometimes when they're partnered with a person once they're older, that person might only have a 15-minute break from the office, need to whip their dog quickly outside,
mm-hmm.
and needs the dog to go during that time, not sort of, you know?
Mm-hmm. So do you use treats to reward the puppy for doing these things that you're trying to train him to do?
Yes, loads of treats and loads of hugs and praise and, yes, toys.
Good.
Yes.
Good.
Yeah. It is quite fun to be a helper dog puppy, I think.
Yeah, sure. So you said that Emma now is the first dog that you had who actually lived with you?
Yes.
Okay. And yes. I want to also ask you, I want to talk more about Emma, but I want to ask you because you said that you didn't have any experience with dogs prior to this. Is that correct? You never had a dog?
I never had a dog, no.
Yeah, so this must have been a big adjustment for you. Did you like it immediately?
The only experience I'd had of dogs was when I was in Japan with Ian and they got one of those rent-a-dog places where you can rent a dog for an hour.
Yeah, I've heard about that. I don't know whether we have them in this country.
That was my experience. So not really, not enough, no.
Uh-huh.
But they trained me. They trained me on both the dogs that we've worked with and now Traffy. They've all turned into lovely two helper dogs and one therapy dog.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. So now, so then you got Emma, and you started when she was about 7 or 7.5 weeks old. And so how long did you work with her? At what age, you know, for total, how long did she work with you as a puppy before she was given to her forever home?
Until she was 6 months old.
Until she was 6 months. Okay, yes. So that's a long time for you to live with a puppy and to bond with a puppy. And so was it very difficult for you when you had to give her up?
It was incredibly difficult, mainly because, as I said, I thought that going into helper dogs and having this training and everything, I was looking at it from a very sensible point of view, mm-hmm. but I wasn't thinking how much I would love this little puppy, totally, and utterly love her. And so when she did very well and they said, well, it's time for her to move on to the next stage of her training, it was so hard to give her up. Mm-hmm. And we did, in fact, offer them £10,000 if we would be allowed to keep her, but helper dogs, they kept to their policy and they said, we believe that Emma could make a wonderful helper dog for someone and we have to go down that route.
So where is she? I'm sorry, go ahead.
And she has made a wonderful helper dog for
someone. And you can be very proud of yourself because puppy raisers do a very important job. They have a tremendous influence over the puppy. I mean, that's such a critical age for puppies. And so she got on a very positive start. She was taught everything that she needs to know at that age. So, you know, you can really be very proud of yourself if Emma is doing that well.
And I think that the puppy raisers, although it was so hard to give her up because you fall in love with the puppy, I think that if you don't have that bond of love in the puppy, then it's quite hard. You know, you need to have that love there for them to want to respond and do the things that you're asking of it.
Of course. Of course.
Yeah.
You have to have a relationship with you. Right?
Pardon?
Yeah. Any puppy or any dog, if they don't have a good relationship with the people that they live with, they can't learn. You know, I mean, if they don't have a good relationship with you or they don't have a good relationship, let's say, with any of my clients who get them or any dog, you know, they're stressed. People may not recognize it as stress, but but they are because they're always worried. Maybe they don't trust the person or maybe they're afraid of the person. And when you're in that state of mind, you can't learn.
Yeah.
You know,
and it's really hard to see because I know when I go to dog classes, and like, for example, this morning when I was at the Christmas party, those young puppies and even the old ones, they are so intently watching the person that they've been placed with and wanting to do well and trying to work out what they need to do to make you happy and get their treats. And it's such a responsibility, but such a lovely responsibility to be given.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So then what dog did you get after that?
After I didn't know that I would be able to love another dog. My perception was that I can't do this again.
Mm-hmm.
But we'd already agreed that I would take in a second puppy, and there was this little puppy waiting to come to us. So then we had Freddie, we called Freddie, another golden retriever, but this one, pure white, very, very fluffy, looked like a miniature polar bear, and wild. He was a little bit older when he came to us than Emma had been, and she'd been this sweet, demure little girl, all shy, and then Freddie just sort of bounded in, here I am, look at me, folks, and yes, he was a whole different ball game, because that's the other thing, when you're not too familiar with dogs, they seem to be just a massive similar kind of thing, but once you are familiar and have got to work with them more intensely, everyone is its unique little lovely different
character. That's right. Everybody has their own personality.
Yeah.
That's lovely. That's so exciting. Was it very different working with Freddie than it was with Emma, especially Freddie being a male? What differences did you see between the two of them?
I found Freddie was a lot more lively, and he was also quite a lot more stubborn as a little boy.
In what
way? The puppy assessor who went round to, sometimes Helper Dogs gets puppies from other charity organisations like Guide Dog for the Blind, and sometimes it gets them from individuals who've had litters.
Okay.
And she went round to try and assess Freddie's litter.
Okay.
And one of the things they do to see if you've got the potential to be a helper dog puppy is they roll a ball or a toy and see if the puppy will follow it and be interested in it.
Right.
And she said with their litter, she kept trying to get any of the puppies to be interested, but they must have been having one of those days, so none of them could be bothered to stand up and get it. And then in the end, Freddie finally sort of toddled over to it, and so he was the one that came.
I see.
But the difference, he still still really wanted to do his best. He got... He was a bit more assertive in that he really didn't want to go in his crate, and helper dogs want people to use their do you call them crates in America?
Yes, we do, absolutely. Yep.
Yeah?
Uh-huh, yeah.
Because the reason they need them to use the crates is to protect the puppy raiser's furniture, but also because at some point further along the line, and once they go to the head office, the head area for their final training, they may need to go in a crate. So they need to be familiar with crates.
Right.
Poor Freddie totally hated his crate. And I tried all the things I was advised to, like feeding him in it and playing with him in it, but it didn't really work. And so I can remember my boss, Jamie, saying, I'll get him to go in a crate at helper dogs. And so he was trying to encourage him into the crate, and Freddie did go in, and he closed the door on him, and then Freddie looked at him and did a wee on the crate floor.
Okay.
And he was quite, but I mean, he's turned into the most amazing dog.
Mm-hmm.
And you've all got to go through your little foibles when you're a puppy.
Oh, absolutely. And so did he finally become comfortable with staying in the crate for a little bits of time?
Not really, no. Yeah. He never really liked it. I mean, he would go in it,
mm-hmm.
Not particularly with us, because after a while, the thing was, if your dog doesn't chew when you leave it at home, and if he isn't going to chew your wires or your wall, there's not ever so much reason to need to put him in, mm-hmm. unless you think that he's going to be a danger to himself,
right,
or your property. And Freddie wasn't, and nor was Emma, and. So I don't really use crates with my own dogs now.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously you need to, if it's the policy of the charity you're volunteering for and they really want you mm-hmm. to, you need to give it a good old go.
Right. When you're raising the puppies, do you have any idea at what age, are they kept intact or are they spayed and neutered at a particular age?
They are usually spayed and neutered. Freddie was, both of our dogs were spayed and neutered after they'd left us. So I suppose Freddie would have been about 8-9 months, and Emma probably a year, I would have thought.
I see. Okay.
But yes, they do. They have started a breeding program now, but at the time they didn't. Yes, they'd be spayed or neutered.
Okay. Yeah, that's interesting. So at what age did you have to then give Freddie up?
He was a little bit older, but not much older, about 8 months older.
Yeah, okay.
And he all the way through, he was a little bit more tricky than Emma. I think Emma must have been just about the easiest puppy to work with. And he was just that little bit harder all the way through.
Mm-hmm.
But, and for example, when he was taken to be Jamie took him to visit a school one time, and all the children were watching what Freddie could do, and he was supposed to go, because quite a useful thing is to be able, for the dog to be able to pick up something if you're in a wheelchair and your dog can pick it up and put it on your lap.
I see.
It saves you hours of struggling to try and get it.
Okay.
So Jamie asked Freddie to do it the first time, and Freddie was quite happy to do it, and then Freddie went and lay down on the floor, and so he said to him, Freddie, go and get it. We don't usually say get the pen, just usually say get it.
Uh-huh.
And Freddie wouldn't do it a second time.
Uh-oh.
But I mean, the thing is that Freddie, for all him being a bit more of a tricky boy to work with,
mm-hmm.
is now a dog who has saved his owner's life.
He was?
So it's they really, you know, he came totally amazingly good, and I'm just as proud of him as I am of Emma.
Oh,
but
wonderful.
He still kept his wonderful quirks.
Yeah.
When we went to his graduation, he was very much a boy who loved toys.
Uh-huh.
And this person was walking past with a wheelie trolley thing with a teddy in the back of it, mm-hmm. for her own dog, I presume.
Right.
And Freddie snooked over and took it out of the back of out of the back of the trolley. And we said to the lady, oh, so sorry he's taking this, but he said he could have it as a Christmas.
Oh, that's nice.
So they're still dogs. They're still going to be dogs, but dogs who do pretty amazing things. Freddie can now press the or pull the alert cord for if his owner's in trouble.
Oh, good.
Someone, yeah.
Wonderful. And I'm sure both of your dogs have bonded well with the people that they're working with.
Yes.
So good. Yes. So was it just as difficult to give Freddie up, or had you develop some calluses at that time where it wasn't so hard?
I was thinking I would be able to develop some calluses, but actually I didn't. But the giving up felt totally different because he was, from my point of view, we were giving him on to someone else that I knew and had met. So I knew he was going to be fine, that the person he was going to be with was lovely, and there was another dog there that he'd met who he could be, he'd had a nice time playing with. So all those worries were not there, whereas with Emma, I didn't know quite where she was going to be because she was being taken off to head office. And but then I found that with him, I had this kind of guilt feeling that, oh, I should have taken him for more walks, or I should have done this, or I should have done that. Mm-hmm. It was a sort of different kind of grieving, I think, when he went.
Yeah, I give you a lot of credit. I don't think I could do it. I give credit to people who foster dogs. You know, that's a temporary thing too, you know, where they have to give the dog up if the dog is adopted. So you have to be a certain type of person. And I would imagine that after a while it just becomes almost second nature, but I'm sure that you're always, your emotions always tug at you at the end, especially if you really had a great relationship with that dog, over the time that you lived with him. It's gotta be tough. Go ahead.
Also, I think now, when I went to Helper Dogs this morning, it seemed that what they were doing now, people who came in as new volunteers in my situation, or new volunteers even if they'd had a dog before, what they do is start giving them not a puppy of their own for 6 months, but a puppy or a dog to just look after for holiday cover, so just for a week, and then you give it back, which I think is quite a good idea, because then it gets the person in the mind that this isn't your dog, you've got to give it back after a little while. And I suppose those people who are able to manage it, they're much better at thinking it that way.
So that's two dogs. And so you, because we're running out of, you know, we have about 3 minutes left, but I want to make sure that we talk about Traffy. Now, so tell us about Traffy and how she came into your life.
Traffy, Freddie's breeder knew of Traffy, and or knew her mum was going to have a litter, and she said, really, it's time to get your own dog. And by then, we did feel it was very much time to have our own dog. And so we got little Traffy. And first of all, she was a demonstration dog for Helper Dog, but then my work commitments changed. So for a while, she wasn't doing that. And now she works as a visiting dog who goes into hospices and hospitals and special schools.
Wonderful.
And she's really good at that. She goes to visit our local old people's home, and they say when she gets there, have you come to visit your aunties today then?
Wow. So she does therapy work more so than the service dog work.
She
sounds to me like what we would call a therapy dog rather than a service dog. So she goes and she visits the elderly, or she visits children, and so, but it's like a day-to-day thing. It's not where she goes and lives with somebody, because she's living with you.
And that works really well, because I must say that for the first year that I had Traffy, just about every time I looked at her, I was so grateful that I wasn't going to have to give her up.
Right.
And then it seemed that she'd got so many good skills that it was like, well, I think she could be a therapy dog. And so that suits us both down to the ground.
Wonderful. So, that's wonderful. So how old is Traffy today?
Traffy is 3.
3 years old. And you got her at what age?
I got her at probably 8 weeks old, 9 weeks old,
Okay. So did you take her through the same training steps as you did with the previous dogs who were going to be service dogs? Did you train her the same way?
I did, because that's the only method I know.
Right. Good.
So, yes. So my pet dog is like a service dog. Actually, they've been really good at, I made finding the keys and things like that into a game. I'd put a soft toy on the end.
Yeah.
And, hide them somewhere and then say to Traffy, get the keys, and she'd go off and hunt for them around the room.
Right.
Yes. It's the only way I know how to train a dog. So yes, that's that's what she's like as well.
Yeah, Megan, this has been such a lovely discussion, and I'm so happy to have been able to talk to you about your being a puppy raiser, and I thank you very, very much for visiting us today in the doghouse, and God, I wish you all the luck in the world, and I hope that you continue doing some work for puppy raising. I mean, maybe you'll take another puppy on someday, even with Traffy being there, and continue all the good work that you're doing.
Yeah, thanks.
What is the name?
Thank you for having me on the show.
No problem. No problem. And so tell everybody, please, what the name of your book is and where they can get it.
It's called The Puppy That Came for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And it's published by Plume. And you can get it from all good bookstores. And also, I think it's available on the internet as well.
Okay, like at Amazon.com or Dogwise.com, places like that.
Yes.
Megan, thank you very, very much for spending your time with us today. And, again, I wish you all the luck in the world.
Thank you.
Have a great day.
Okay, you too.
Bye-bye now.
Bye. Bye.
Thank you for listening to Thursday in the Doghouse. We'll talk to you again next Thursday from 10 to 10:30 right here on WNJC 1360 AM. Talk to you later.
I'm glad you're home. Where you been? Since 2 o'clock, I've been holding it in. Grab the leash, let's go chop chop.